We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Vorgan Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 641. 641 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Vorgan Society and the Bible for Today, defending the King James Bible in defense of traditional Bible texts, the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then for those requesting it, don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather, choice of black or burgundy. Either 12-point large print for tired eyes or 10-point medium print. Call us. We'll tell you how to get your copy. Over 20,000 have theirs. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And for those requesting it, we're glad to send you with our compliments the Bible Fundamentalist Bible Distortions on Bible Versions by your speaker. An 80-page book that you ought to be interested in. Just simply ask us for it. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then Dean Vorgan's warnings on revision. We're talking about that this time. Dean Vorgan's sounded warnings against the revision, either of the text of Vesuvius Greek New Testament text and also the King James Bible. And we're talking about some of the statements, some of the ways he praised the traditional text and the different things that he said about it. Last broadcast, if you remember, we talked about the different things that he called as the same as the traditional text. He praised the traditional received text as having the backing of antiquity and having a date from A.D. 350 to A.D. 400. He said also that in his masterful style, he used various Greek texts by different names, yet he equated them for the most part as being identical. Now remember, last broadcast we named, number one, there are a total of 7 or 8 different names for the same text. Number one, the traditional text. Number two, the Erasmian text. You call it the text of Erasmus. Number three, the Complutensian text, of the Complutensian polyglot of Jimenez. Number four, you can call it the Stevens text. Number five, you can call it the Beza text. Number six, the Elsevier text. Number seven, the received text. Number eight, the Textus Receptus. Dean Vorgan agrees, and he argues that wholeheartedly, with Westcott and Hort, that this 8-named text, that is the Textus Receptus, is the dominant text of A.D. 350 to A.D. 400. Note also that Dean Vorgan said that this 8-named text is attested by a general consensus of ancient copies, ancient fathers, that is church fathers, and ancient versions. So we're talking about Vorgan's warning on revision. Now, the Westcott and Hort revision of the Greek text was not adequate. It did not follow Dean Vorgan's rules and regulations. The so-called majority text of Hodges and Fastad did not follow Dean Vorgan's warnings on revision, nor did the one by Robinson and Pierpont. That did not follow the warnings on revision at all. Well, let's see another point. Dean Vorgan further praised the traditional or received text as having the backing of every extant lectionary of the Greek church. Now, lectionaries were used as readings in the early church, usually on feast days of Easter and different other places, and all the lectionaries of the East received a traditional text. And here's what Dean Vorgan wrote. He wrote it from Revision Revised, page 269. Quote, in marked contrast to the text we speak of, which is identical with the text of every extant lectionary of the Greek church, and may therefore reasonably claim to be spoken of as the traditional text. End of quote. Now this is a fourth ancient documentation favoring the received text, or the text of Receptus, namely ancient Greek lectionaries. These lectionaries are the scripture portions which were read in the Greek-speaking churches during their church services through the years. Dean Burgon, therefore, has a fourfold attestation of the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, or the traditional text, as he calls it. Number one, ancient copies, that is, Greek manuscript copies. Number two, ancient fathers, quotation from the church fathers. Number three, ancient versions, early versions and translations. And four, ancient Greek lectionaries to bolster, to back up the Textus Receptus, or traditional text of the New Testament. My friend, Dean Burgon stood for the traditional text. He stood for the Textus Receptus, the received text. He called them all the same text. He didn't care what the text was called. The text stands against the Westcott and Hort text that underlies our New American Standard Version, the New International Version, and the other perversions of our day. Let me take another point. Dean Burgon praised this traditional text as one which cannot seriously be suspected of error. Notice what he says. A lot of these people say, well, Dean Burgon wants to revise the Textus Receptus as if he doesn't have it any value. He doesn't think there's any value in it. Notice what he wrote in the Revision of Ice, page 356, in the footnote. Quote, all of these then are with the traditional text, which cannot seriously be suspected of error. End of quote. Page 356, Revision Revised, in the footnote. Notice the traditional text, which cannot seriously be suspected of error. This is certainly a strong supporting statement by Dean Burgon for the traditional received text. And then another point on this text. Dean Burgon stands for the traditional text of the Textus Receptus. He said Dean Burgon believed in using the received text as a common standard of comparison to other Greek texts, since it was more than 1,500 years old. He used a standard. He used to measure off any other text, any other manuscript. He used the Textus Receptus, or what he called the traditional text, the received text, because of its antiquity. Over 1,500 years old it was in Dean Burgon's day. He lived in 1880, 1885, 1881, and 1,500 years before that. 300 A.D., it was there. He realized it. Its antiquity. A lot of these modern preachers and teachers in Bob Jones University and Dallas Theological Seminary and Central Baptist Seminary, these other places, do not think that the Textus Receptus, or received text, or traditional text, was old at all. They say it just began in the 6th century, 7th century. Absolutely false. Even Westcott and Hort agreed that it's the text of 350 to 400 A.D. And in Dean Burgon's day, it was 1,500 years old. He used it as a standard of comparison. He says this, quote, "We must have some standard whereby to test, wherewith to compare manuscripts. What is more, give me leave to assure you, to the end of time, it will probably be the practice. It will probably be the practice of scholars to compare manuscripts of the New Testament with the received text, and that's how they will compare it. He'll compare manuscripts of the New Testament with the received text. Now that's from the end of time. It will probably be the case. This is what to do. It's a standard, 1,500-year standard, and that's how to compare. Quote, the hopeless discrepancies between our five old angels can in no more convenient way be exhibited than by referring each of them in turn to one and the same common standard. And what standard more reasonable and more convenient than the text which, by the good providence of God, was universally employed throughout Europe for the first 300 years after the invention of printing, being practically identical with the text which you yourself admit was in popular use at the end of three centuries from the date of the sacred autographs themselves. In other words, being more than 1,500 years old." End of quote. That's Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, page 386. What Dean Burgon is saying there is that the common standard of comparison, As he looked at these five old initials, Aleph, A, B, C, and D, hopelessly corrupt in so many places, he compared them to one common standard, that is, the Textus Receptus, or traditional received text. Dean Burgon here pointed out his belief in the validity of using the received text, or Textus Receptus, as a standard of comparison, which will be used to the end of time. He also said this received text was practically identical to the text which was in existence at the end of three centuries from the date of the autographs, and which was more than 1,500 years old. He also pointed out that the received text was used for the first 300 years after the invention of printing throughout all of Europe. 1,500 plus 300 more years, 1,800, used completely. And it's a tremendous text. Dean Burgon wasn't willing to throw out completely the traditional text, the received text, or the Textus Receptus. Let me take another point on this statement of Dean Burgon. Dean Burgon scolded Bishop Ellicott. Now, Bishop Ellicott was the chairman of the English Revised Version. It came out in 1881. And Dean Burgon scolded Bishop Ellicott for heaping contempt on the humblest ancestor of the Textus Receptus, that is, the first edition of Erasmus. Let me quote this. Now, Dean Burgon wrote to Bishop Ellicott. He's the chairman, as I said before, of the committee of the English Revised Version of 1881. And here's what he said. Quote, "First then, for your strenuous endeavor," that is pages 7 to 10, he says, "to prejudice the question by pouring contempt on the humblest ancestor of the Textus Receptus, namely the first edition of Erasmus." Now that is exactly what people have tried to do. They've tried to say that the Textus Receptus is this statement in the edition of Erasmus. The people in the Mind of God of the Mind of Man book, the Bob Jones University production, which we've answered on this radio broadcast, and which we're writing in book form, which should be out in several months. This Mind of God of the Mind of Man book tries to pour contempt on the Textus Receptus and on Erasmus' text as being equated to the Textus Receptus. They say that that is the source of the Textus Receptus. But as Dean Burgon points out, it's merely the humblest ancestor of the Textus Receptus, namely the first edition of Erasmus. You know very well that the Textus Receptus is not the first edition of Erasmus. Notice this. They know very well, that's what these people from the Mind of God of the Mind of Man book should know also. Do you know that the Textus Receptus is not the first edition of Erasmus? Why then do you so describe its origin as to imply that it is? Now that's exactly what they're doing in the Mind of God of the Mind of Man book at Bob Jones University's production. You ridicule the circumstances under which a certain ancestor of the family first saw the light. Now, the ancestors of the family, having in this way done your best to blacken a noble house by dilating on the low ebb to which its fortunes were reduced at a crucial period in its history. End of quote. Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, page 389. Now, this is very important indeed, to see that the Erasmus edition is not the Textus Receptus. That's not where it began at all. Dean Burgon goes on this thing. What he's saying is that he rightly charged Bishop Ellicott with twisting of his argument against the Textus Receptus by equating it with Erasmus' first edition. To the unlearned readers, this would cause them to draw wrong inferences and conclusions. Another point on the Textus Receptus of Dean Burgon's belief. Dean Burgon reminded Ellicott, that is, this chairman of the English Revised Version of 1881, of his own words concerning the history and pedigree of the received text, which was contemporary with or older than any of the oldest or extant manuscripts of the Greek New Testament. Now, look at what Dean Burgon says in this in regard to Bishop Ellicott. He says, quote, Dean Bourgeon is quoting now Bishop Ellicott directly. Bishop Ellicott says this, quote, "The manuscripts which Erasmus used differ for the most part only in small and insignificant details from the bulk of the cursive manuscripts. The general character of their text is the same. By this observation, the pedigree of the received text is carried up beyond the individual manuscripts used by Erasmus." Notice this is tremendous, because this is the very charge that the Mind of God or the Mind of Man book is making against the Textus Receptus and against Erasmus' text. "That pedigree," he says, "stretches back to a remote antiquity. The first ancestor of the received text was at least contemporary with the oldest of our extant manuscripts, if not older than any one of them." That's Dean Bourgeon, Revision of Eyes, pages 11 and 12. Now, he's quoting this. Now, he says this, "By your own showing, therefore, the Textus Receptus is at least 1,550 years old." Now, this is Dean Bourgeon, Revision of Eyes, page 390. Tremendous. Here, Ellicott himself talks about this ancestry and the age of the Textus Receptus, and it goes back 1,550 years. Now, that's not Erasmus' text. That's not Erasmus' text of 1516. Make no mistake about it. Dean Bourgeon did not allow Ellicott to get away with saying that the Textus Receptus began with Erasmus. That's what these Bob Jones University teachers and pupils and students and graduates have been saying. Absolutely false. Many opponents of the Textus Receptus today have said this in their books. "That pedigree stretches back to a remote antiquity," wrote Ellicott, and it's important for us today to realize this as well. And we're going to use this in the answer to the Mind of God or the Mind of Man book. Let me continue. Dean Bourgeon pointed out that the two distinct lines of descent of the traditional received text, namely, the Complutensian as well as the Erasmian, or from Erasmus. So the two distinct lines, same traditional text, but two lines. Notice what he says, quote, "And the genealogy of the writers, of the written, no less than the genealogy of the incarnate word, is traceable back by two distinct lines of descent." Remember, for the Complutensian, that's the Complutensian polyglot of Cardinal Jimenez, for the Complutensian, which was printed in 1514, exhibits the traditional text with the same general fidelity as the Erasmian, which did not see the light until 2 years later. End of quote. Dean Bourgeon's Revision of Eyes, page 390 to 391. Now, the Complutensian Polyglot of 1514 was just as much a part of the traditional or received text of the Greek New Testament as were the additions of Erasmus. Now, that's exactly what should be pointed out, and that's exactly what's true. So it has two different lines, Complutensian Polyglot and Erasmus text. They're all historically based upon the traditional text, and it has two different branches, as it were. All right, another point. Dean Bourgeon esteemed the received text, which was in his time over 1,500 years old, and even older, as quite good enough for all ordinary purposes. Notice what he says about that. Dean Bourgeon wrote this, quote, "For my part, being fully convinced, like yourself," that's speaking of Bishop Ellicott, "that essentially the received text is full 1,550 years old, yes, and a vast deal older, I esteem it quite good enough for all ordinary purposes." End of quote. Revision Revised, page 392. These things are not being quoted by the Mind of God or the Mind of Man book, but Dr. Smallman and some of the other writers of that book. Though, as we shall see in a later section of the present study, Dean Bourgeon has some minor modifications he would make to the Textus Receptus, yet he esteemed it as being quite good enough for all ordinary purposes. End of quote. He doesn't want to throw away the Textus Receptus. He does not want to alter the traditional text. He doesn't want to revise it, or change it, or amend it, or revise in any way. Let me quote another thing about the revision, or rather the received text. Dean Borgon felt strongly that the revision of the Textus Receptus, made in 1881 by Westcott and Hort, was the worst sort imaginable because of the false principles and theories upon which that revision was founded. Now, when Dean Borgon came up against this revision of the Greek text, this Westcott and Hort Greek text revision, which is used in most of our seminaries and colleges today, even fundamental schools, like Bob Jones University and Central Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, and so on. This text of Westcott and Hort is not the way to go. In this discussion of when Dean Borgon would make a major revision of the text Receptus, it is most appropriate to quote a few of Dean Borgon's words in total opposition to the major revision of that text Receptus made by two professors, Westcott and Hort, in 1881. We find that such a major revision as was made then, and which has been received and accepted as a new received text by multitudes of both liberals, neo-evangelicals, and many fundamentalists, was in almost every case the exact opposite of what Dean Borgon would have suggested. They did not do it right. And this was so because it was based upon fallacious, false principles and an erroneous theory as well. Under that point, let's take up part A. Dean Borgon's one object was to defeat the revision of the sacred text of Westcott and Hort, which is untrustworthy from beginning to end. End of quote. My friend, if the text of Westcott and Hort is untrustworthy from beginning to end, why does a fundamental school like like Bob Jones University go along with it? Why does BJU go along with this text, the Nestle Island text, which is the part of the Westcott and Hort text tradition? Why do they go along with something that is untrustworthy from beginning to end? And the other schools, Dallas Seminary and Central Seminary and Calvary Baptist Seminary, all these different schools, many of them fundamental schools, why do they go along with something untrustworthy from beginning to end? Dean Borgon wrote this, quote, "My one object has been to defeat the mischievous attempt which was made in 1881 to thrust upon the church and realm a revision of the sacred text which, recommended though it be by eminent names, I am thoroughly convinced and am able to prove it is untrustworthy from beginning to end. The reason is plain. It has been constructed throughout on an entirely, utterly erroneous hypothesis." Dean Borgon, Revision of Eyes, Roman numeral 5 and 6. Now, this untrustworthy text has been used as a textbook in the Greek departments of many, many schools and colleges and universities all over the world. The modernist liberals use it. The apostate Roman Catholics use it. The compromised new evangelicals use it. And altogether too many so-called fundamentalists use it. Sad to say, a text untrustworthy from beginning to end. And then Dean Borgon held that Westcott and Hort's perversion of the text Receptus was a poisoning of the river of life at its sacred source. Here's what he said. Quote, "It is, however, the systematic deprivation of the underlying Greek which does so grievously offend me. For this is nothing else but a poisoning of the river of life at its sacred source. Our revisers, with the best and purest intentions, no doubt, stand convicted of having deliberately rejected the words of truth and the words of inspiration in every page, and of having substituted for them fabricated readings which the church has long since refused to acknowledge, or else has rejected with abhorrence, and which only survive at this time in a little handful of documents of the most depraved type. End of quote. Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, Roman numeral 6 and 7. Well, these are explosive words. They certainly are. They're biting and stinging words, and they're factually true. This is exactly what the Westcott and Hort Greek textual fabricators have done. They've thrown away the words of inspiration on every page and thrust in fabricated readings. And the fundamentalists of Bob Jones University and Central Baptist Seminary and Detroit Seminary and all the other Baptist schools and fundamentalist schools that use the Westcott and Hort text are guilty of fabricating the readings and pushing upon the Christian world the false Gnostic Egyptian text of B and Aleph manuscripts, Vatican and Sinai, and the New International Version is full of it, and the New American Standard Version is full of it, the changes, the fabricated readings that are in error. Well, Dean Burgon also charged the Westcott and Hort revision as causing the words of inspiration to be seriously imperiled. Here's what he wrote, quote, "If therefore any do complain that I have sometimes hit my opponents rather hard, I take leave to point out that to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, be far from embracing, a time for speaking smoothly, and a time for speaking sharply, and that when the words of inspiration are seriously imperiled, as now they are, it is scarcely possible for one who is determined effectually to preserve the deposit in its integrity to hit either too straight or too hard." End of quote. Revision Revised, Roman numeral 7 to 8. What a warrior of the Word of God was Dean Burgon. What purpose, what determination. Would to God that he would raise up a whole generation of Dean Burgons to stand where he ought to stand, to contend for a present day assault on the words of God by the current Greek revisions and English perversions. Is there not a cause? That's the issue and the question that we ought to raise. Well, Dean Burgon stands for the received text. He stands for the Textus Receptus. He calls it the traditional text or all these other names for it, but it's the same general text on which we should stand. The King James Bible stands. We ought to stand for it and defend it against all of its enemies. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And be sure to continue to stand for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. They're the scriptures that we should stand for and contend for against all comers, no matter who they may be, Protestant, Catholic, fundamentalists, or compromisers. Stay tuned next broadcast. So long until then. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 642. 642 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Might I ask your bookstore to get it for you, Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, and we'll tell you how to get it, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. 20,000 all over the world have their copies. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather, not bonded leather, genuine leather, choice of black or burgundy, 12-point large print for tired eyes, and choice of 10-point medium print. Call us today, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and order your copy. Then for those requesting it, we're glad to send you with our compliments the 80-page book called Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions by your speaker. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for it, Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. We're taking up in these weeks that are ahead Dean Burgon's warnings on revision. He warned in his book, Revision Revised, on any revision whatever of the Textus Receptus and any revision whatever of the King James Bible. He said, don't revise it unless you do it right. If you don't do it right, leave it alone. Basically, that's what he's saying. And we're on page number 14 of this book, Burgon's Warnings on Revision. You ought to get it. It's a good book, and ask for it. It's number 804, Bible for Today, number 804, and 93 pages. Almost 100, probably, if you want to get to count all the pages and so on. Call it 100 pages, because we've got some Roman numeral pages at the beginning of the book with the table of contents and so on. Ask us for it. It's Bible for Today's Dean Burgon's Warnings on Revision. All right, Dean Burgon's looking at the false Westcott and Hort text that underlies the New American Standard Version and the New International Version and other versions that some of these fundamentalists even are using. And this text, this Westcott and Hort text, is taught at the fundamentalist schools and colleges and universities, many of them. That includes Bob Jones University, number one, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Calgary Baptist Seminary, and so on. The New Evangelical schools have been using the Westcott and Hort text for decades. They're called, including Dallas Seminary and so on, and many others, of course. But we believe it's the Textus Receptus, the received Greek text, the traditional text that underlies our King James Bible, that should be used in every school and every college all over the world. That's our position. All right, Dean Burgon branded the Westcott and Hort textual revision. That's the 1881 text revision as being the most depraved which has ever appeared in print. Here's what he said, quote, on that Greek text of theirs, that is that of Westcott and Hort, which I hold to be the most depraved which has ever appeared in print. Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, Roman numeral number 30. Now this is Dean Burgon's assessment of the Westcott and Hort Greek text. Their claim for the text, however, was that it exhibits a, quote, exhibits a closer approximation to the inspired autographs than the world has hitherto seen. That's Revision Revised, page 2. That's what their claim is, but it's false. It's false. It's the most depraved which has ever appeared in print. Now, if you want to compare the depraved Westcott and Hort text with the Textus Receptus, you should get our reprinted Bible by Dr. Scrivener, Dr. Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament, where the bold letters show you Westcott and Hort's depraved parts that they changed the Textus Receptus in, and the footnotes at the bottom, 5,604 places where they changed the text. This Greek text of Westcott and Hort was not revised in accord with Dean Burgon's warnings. It was absolutely depraved in every sense of the word. This latter statement, however, of Westcott and Hort saying it's the closest approximation to the inspired autographs that the world has ever seen is patently false. It's not. The Westcott and Hort text is far from that, as will be seen from a diligent reading of Dean Burgon's books on the text. The exact opposite is true. And then Dean Burgon stated that the Westcott and Hort revision was, quote, vastly more remote from the inspired autographs than any which has appeared since the invention of printing. Dean Burgon wrote this, quote, with regret, we record our conviction that these accomplished scholars, that is, Westcott and Hort, now he commends them for their accomplishment, they're accomplished scholars, Some people say Dean Burgon is a terrible, mean man with a vilification of character and so on. No, he says, these accomplished scholars, it's our conviction that these accomplished scholars, that is Westcott and Hort, have succeeded in producing a text vastly more remote from the inspired autographs of the evangelists than any which has appeared since the invention of printing. Dean Burgon's Revision of Writings, pages 25 and 26. Could you listen to that? If that's the case, then why does Bob Jones University and Central Baptist Seminary and Calvary Baptist Seminary and Detroit Baptist Seminary, all these fundamental schools, why do they continue to use this false, depraved Greek text? That's the question. It's revised in false principles, it's wrong, it's depraved, and it's more remote from the inspired autographs than any which has appeared since the invention of printing. And then I got another thing Dean Burgon said. He stated that conjectural emendation, such as that used in the Westcott and Hort revision, has no place in biblical textual criticism. What does he mean by conjectural emendation? Well, conjecture is guesswork. Emendation is change. In other words, changing the words of the New Testament text by means of conjecture or guesswork or hypothesis without being founded upon fact and truth. Here's what Dean Burgon wrote. Quote, may we be allowed to assure the accomplished writer that in biblical textual criticism, conjectural emendation has no place. End of quote. Revision Revised, page 28. Well, this principle can be applied to the Old Testament text as well as the New, even in our own day, when conjectural emendation is an acceptable method on the part of many, including some fundamentalists. They think it's all right to amend and change the Hebrew text of the Old Testament as well as the Greek text of the New. All right, Dean Burgon also said he faulted the Westcott and Hort revision as being palpably mistaken for changing the Textus Receptus at Luke 2:14 and Mark 16:9-20. These two places, Luke 2:14 and Mark 16:9-20, the last 12 verses of Mark, is palpably mistaken because of their change in these two places. Dean Burgon wrote this, quote, we may not go on doubting forever. The angelic hymn, that's what says goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill toward man, that angelic hymn. He said, we can't keep doubting it. The last 12 verses of Mark's Gospel are convenient places for a trial of strength. These two places, the angelic hymn and the last 12 verses of Mark, are convenient places for a trial of strength. It has now been proved that the commonly received text of Luke 2:14 is the true text. The revisionist's emendation of the place, a palpable mistake. End of quote. Revision Revised, page 47. The same could be said for our modern versions in English, where the same errors are present. And are also palpable mistakes. There are palpable and unacceptable mistakes and clear mistakes indeed. The angelic hymn, as it reads in the King James Bible, is accurate. It's correct. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Not the way the revisers have it in the wrong Greek text, to men of goodwill, but goodwill to men. A change, indeed, in the wrong place. Well, Dean Burgon stated also that the Westcott and Hort text departed from the traditional text nearly 6,000 times, and almost invariably for the worse. Almost 6,000 places and 6,000 times. I've actually counted. Dean Burgon's figure is fairly close, 5,604. That's less than 390 so from 6,000. We have counted Dr. Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament. And that's available either in hardback or in leather, genuine leather. You can see it for yourself. The exact changes that Westcott and Hort made to the Greek text, the text receptus that underlies our King James Bible. You ought to get it. It's just recently been brought into print, and we want you to get it. And you can see for yourself. All right, Dean Burgon wrote this, quote, the new Greek text, that's Westcott and Hort's, 1881, put forth by the revisionists of our authorized Bible is utterly inadmissible. And of course, Paul's right there. Well, if it's utterly inadmissible, why do our fundamentalist schools and colleges still use it? When are they going to quit using the false text of Westcott and Hort? When, oh, when are these people who are supposed to know better, when are they going to get the drift that the Westcott and Hort text is an Egyptian counterfeit, an Egyptian Gnostic text that is counterfeit from beginning to end? When will they get the drift of that? It's utterly, says Dean Brogan, inadmissible. The traditional text has been departed from by them, that is, these revisionists, namely Westcott and Hort and company, nearly 6,000 times. And he says, almost invariably, for the worse. End of quote. Revision Revised of Dean Burgon, page 107. Now let's continue. You get the idea, do you not, that the Westcott and Hort text is not an acceptable revision of the Textus Receptus? Dean Burgon continues. He downed the Westcott and Hort text as being more remote from the originals than any to have seen the light. Here's what he says. He wrote this, quote, "It has been the ruin of the present undertaking, as far as the sacred text is concerned, that the majority of the revisionist body have been misled throughout by the oracular decrees and impetuous advocacy of Doctors Westcott and Hort." Let's pause right there in that quotation. That means that these men who met around the table and got this text out finally in 1881, they met for several years. While they met around the table, and they're all available, the names are all available, Doctors Westcott and Hort were the prominent ones that made the changes and pushed for the changes. And they were led and misled, this committee was, of the Church of England to change not only the English text, but to change the Greek text that underlies the English text. They were misled by the, notice, the oracular decrees, that means Sir Oracle. We just believe that it should be this way and change it. Change the Greek text. Oracular decrees and impetuous advocacy of Doctors Westcott and Hort, who, with the purest intentions and most laudable industry, now notice how he praises Westcott and Hort. I don't know that I'd be so kind. People like to say that Dean Burgon is rough and harsh. Well, here he's talking about his avowed enemies. These men are in the Anglican Church, the same as he was when he wrote this in 1883. Both of them, all three of them, Westcott, Hort, and Burgon, were in the Church of England. And rather than be rough and harsh, as I would be probably, he says, with the purest and intentions and most laudable industry, have constructed a text demonstrably more remote from the evangelic verity than any which has ever seen the light. End of quote. Page 110, Revision Revised. In other words, they did a horrible job. Westcott and Hort and the Revised Version, English Revised Version, did a tremendously horrible job in changing the text of Receptus. Now, let's continue. Dean Burgon labeled Westcott and Hort's text to be the most vicious recension of the original Greek in existence. I tell you, I would get the point here, wouldn't you? You'd get the idea and the thought that Dean Burgon did not like this false Greek text on which the New International Version is based, on which the New American Standard Version is based, on which the Today's English Version is based, the Good News for Modern Man, the great, the English version, New English Version, the New English Bible, and the Living Version, all these other versions, the American Standard Version. You get the idea that he thinks it's horrible, and it is horrible. And I don't understand for a minute why people who are fundamentalists, who claim to believe the truth of the Scripture, will settle for a Bible like the New International, the New American Standard, that's based on this false and vicious text. Dean Burgon labeled it as the most vicious recension of the original Greek in existence. He said this, quote, "Who could have anticipated that the opportunity would have been adroitly seized to inflict upon the church in the day in the text of Drs. Westcott and Hort in all its essential features, a text which, as will be found elsewhere, largely explained, we hold to be the most vicious recension of the original Greek in existence. End of quote. Dean Burgon's Revision of Ice, page 114. The text of Westcott and Hort, they seized to inflict upon it. They adroitly seized this opportunity. See, Westcott and Hort were the ones that were the pioneers, the pushers of this new text. They are the ones that have been working on this text since probably 1850, over 30 years, constructing it, changing it, making it different than the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. And they were the ones who pioneered this and made the thrust possible to change the received traditional text of our King James Bible. Let's continue. Dean Burgon said that the Westcott and Hort people invented the text, and it was 1,000 times worse than the text of Erasmus, the Complutensian text, the Stevens text, the Beza text, or the Elsevier's text, because it is hopelessly depraved throughout. Now, if you want to stack up the received text, the traditional text, the Textus Receptus type of texts against Westcott and Hort, Dean Burgon says he'd take the Textus Receptus any day because it's the Westcott and Hort text is hopelessly depraved throughout. Now, that's the text that presently is used in the seminaries and colleges of those that hold to the Westcott and Hort theories. That's the text today that may be called the Nestle-Aland text, or the United Bible Society text, or some text name of that sort. There, Dean Burgon says this, quote, for the Greek text, which they have invented, that is, Westcott and Hort has invented, and the other English Revised Version revisers, proves to be and hopelessly depraved throughout. Hopelessly depraved throughout. As if there were to be... let me just strike that quote again. He says that it's so hopelessly depraved throughout that it were to be taken and thrust upon the church's acceptance. If that were the case, we should be 1,000 times worse off, and that's of course what they did, than we were with the texts which Erasmus and the Complutensians, Stevens and Beza and the Elsevier's bequeathed to us upwards of 3 centuries ago. End of quote, page 118, Revision Revised. In other words, 3 centuries ago from when Dean Burgon was writing, he was writing in 1883. The Revision Revised came out in 1883. The false Greek text of Westcott and Hort came out in 1881. And almost 3 centuries before that would be 1600 and something. And, 1500 and something, I should say. 1580 or so, and that's approximately as close at least to the text of these other people, and this is much more hopelessly depraved than no text ever were. This is a strong indictment of the Westcott and Hort revisionist depravity in favor of the Textus Receptus. These Textus Receptus editions, according to Dean Burgon, are 1,000 times better than the text of Westcott and Hort. That's quite a superiority, I would think, wouldn't you? And then Dean Burgon continues. He accused Westcott and Hort's text of falsifying the inspired Greek text in countless places, and at the same time branding with suspicion some of the most precious utterances of the Spirit. Not only did they knock out the wonderful places that they didn't want, but they branded with suspicion some of the most precious utterances the Holy Spirit gave to us. It's a sad thing indeed. He says this, shame, yes, shame on that two-thirds majority. Now, that's about what they had. They had about the two-thirds majority. Shame on them as they were around their tables trying to revise the Textus Receptus. Shame on the two-thirds majority of well-intentioned, notice, but most incompetent men who, finding themselves in an evil hour, appointed to correct plain and clear errors in the English Authorized Version, occupied themselves instead with falsifying the inspired Greek text in countless places. and branding with suspicion some of the most precious utterances of the Spirit. Shame, yes, shame upon them. Revision of Eyes of Dean Brigham, page 135. Yes, shame on these men that were changing the text that underlies our King James Bible. Now, there was therefore a double fault with Westcott and Hort's Greek text. It put false words into Scripture that never should be there, and then, at the same time, branded with suspicion many of the genuine words of the Holy Spirit. As Jeremiah wrote, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Jeremiah 2, verse 13. That's exactly what Westcott and Hort's text has done. Not only have they taken away the wonderful words, but they've supplanted those words with false ones indeed. Well, let's continue. Dean Brigham assailed Westcott and Hort's erection of the two 4th century copies into an authority from which there shall be no appeal. Now, these two 4th century copies that they erected to be without the flaw were Manuscript B, the Vatican, and Manuscript Aleph, the Sinai. These two manuscripts, Vatican Manuscript and the Sinai Manuscript, they elevated to that there be no appeal from those two. And that's what they do today. The Nestle Island people and the people of the United Bible Society text that are against the King James Bible's Textus Receptus text, they elevate these same two depraved specimens, B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai. That's what they do. Here's what Dean Brigham says about that. Quote, "As for the weak superstition of these last days, which without proof of any kind would erect two 4th century copies of the New Testament, that is, B and Aleph, or Vatican and Sinai, demonstrably derived from one and the same utterly depraved archetype, they put them into an authority from which there shall be no appeal. It cannot be too soon or too unconditionally abandoned." Dean Brigham's Revision of Eyes, page 227, 228. In other words, he says, why keep this thing? Why worship being out as these new versions do, the New American Standard, New International, and so on? This should be abandoned. Oh, that our present-day fundamentalists and the evangelicals and the liberals as well might agree with this important point by Dean Brigham. The present-day modern translations of the New Testament, the New American Standard, New International, so on, for the most part, and without many exceptions, are following slavishly these same two corrupt documents that Westcott and Hort followed in 1881, namely, the Vatican, that's B, and the Sinai, that's Aleph, manuscripts. They've elevated them, Westcott and Hort have, and so have the modern version people today. Well, let's continue. The next place, Dean Brigham labeled the Westcott and Hort revision as a prodigious blunder containing vile fabrications from which God preserved Erasmus and Stenica, Stevens and Beza and the Elsevers. In other words, God protected these other editors. And they kept the words as they should be. Let me see what Dean Brigham says on this point. Quote, "It is already admitted on all hands that the revision text and the revision itself has been a prodigious blunder." Everyone admits that. How it came about that with such a first-rate textual critic among them as Prebendary Scrivener. Now, Dr. Scrivener was a first-rate textual critic. He knew his Greek, and he knew the background. And how can it be explained that with such a first-rate textual critic among them, Prebendary Scrivener, the revisers of 1881 should have deliberately gone back to those vile fabrications from which the good providence of God preserved Erasmus and Stenica, Stevens and Beza, and the Elsevers 3 centuries ago? Revision of Eyes, page 237 to 238. They should have gone back to the original there, and they should have hearkened to Scrivener, Dr. Scrivener, and his wisdom. This quote will point out Dean Brigham's strong preference, without any question whatever, for the Textus Receptus of Erasmus, Stenica, Stevens, Beza, and the Elsevers, as over against the Westcott and Hort revised Greek text. Well, let's take another point. Dean Burgon described the embalming of those errors rather than rejecting them as foul and as bad, those errors that are found in B and Aleph, the Coptic version, D, and the Old Latin copies. Well, here's what he says. It's an interesting quote. He says this, quote, "In marked contrast to the text we speak of, which is identical with the text of every extant lectionary of the Greek Church," that's the traditional text, that's the text of Receptus, "in contrast to that text of the Greek Church, and may therefore reasonably claim to be spoken of as the traditional text," now that's the text Dean Burgon speaks about, "contrary to that is that contained in a little handful of documents, of which the most famous are Codices B, Aleph, and the Coptic version, as far as it is known, on the one hand, and D and the Old Latin copies on the other. To magnify the merits of those as helps and guides, and to ignore their many patent and scandalous defects and blemishes," that's on, "to indicate their paramount authority wherever it is in any way possible to do so, and when that is clearly impossible, then to treat their errors as the ancient Egyptians treated their cats and dogs and monkeys and other vermin. Here's how they did with their mistakes. They treated them like the Egyptians, namely to embalm them and pay them divine honors." That's what they did. Pay them divine honors. And such for the last 50 years has been the practice of the dominant school of textual criticism among ourselves. Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, page 269 and 270. I tell you, there's serious defects. Again, Dean Burgon rebukes the embalming of many parts and scandalous defects and blemishes such as Westcott and Hort, as well as the present-day followers, have done. Don't worship them, don't embalm them and keep them, but get rid of them. That's what he's saying, and that's what ought to be done. Well, we'll take this up next broadcast. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get them both at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So on the next broadcast, don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This is an important battle. We want you to engage in it with us. Stay tuned to the next broadcast. See you next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 643, 643 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We're likely to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather, either black or burgundy, choice of 12-point large print for tired eyes, or medium print, 10-point medium print, and 20,000 have already got their copies. Why not call us today, order your copy from the Bible for Today, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. John 10:9. But for those requesting it by name, we'll be glad to send you with our compliments the 80-page book called Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions by your speaker. Call us. We'll send it to you, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're continuing now in our broadcast today, Dean Burgon's warnings on revision. Revision of the Textus Receptus Greek New Testament text, or revision of the King James Bible. And we think his principles of revision should be followed. They were not followed in Westcott and Hort's Greek text of 1881, and they're not followed in the text that came from that, namely the Nestle Allen text or the United Bible Society text. Now, those texts are foreign to Dean Burgon's rules of revision. And he has warnings on revision, very clear warnings. His warnings were not followed by the so-called majority Greek text that changes the Textus Receptus in 1,800 places, either the majority text of Hodges and Farstad or of Robinson and Pierpont. They've got two majority texts fighting one with the other. Neither of them have followed Dean Burgon's principles of revision. Around the book here on page 18, Dean Burgon lamented Westcott and Hort's ruthlessly sacrificing the great majority of copies of church fathers, quotations, and versions on the altar of the oracle. What does he mean by the oracle? Well, the altar of the hypothesis, the altar of the guesswork. That's what it is. He's talking about the guesswork, the hypothesis, the oracle. And here's what he says. Behold on the altar at which copies, fathers, are all to be ruthlessly sacrificed. That is these quotations from the church fathers, over 86,000 of them. The tribunal, notice the tribunal, the altar, the tribunal, from which there shall be absolutely no appeal. The oracle, which is to silence every debate or doubt, resolve every riddle, smooth away every difficulty. All has been stated where the name has been pronounced of Codex B. Codex B. End of quote. Now that's the Sinai manuscript, Codex B. And that's the tribunal, that's the altar, that's the oracle, and that's the thing that they sacrifice everything on that altar. And everything, every doubt is smoothed away when you have Codex B. And that's exactly the false Greek text of Egypt by the Gnostic heretics on which these new versions are based. Certainly, this methodology must not be acceptable today any more than it was in Dean Burgon's day. But yet it is acceptable. This is the very method, for the most part, used by the New International Version, the New English Version, the New American Standard Version, the American Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, the Living Version, the Today's English Version, and with the exception of the King James Bible. And even the New King James Version Study Edition in the footnotes gives these alternative textual readings as possibilities. My friend, we have gone a long way from Dean Burgon's warnings on revision. You ought to get this book, Burgon's Warnings on Revision of the Textus Receptus in the King James Bible. It's a 100-page booklet. You ought to get it. Write us for it. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then Dean Burgon continues. He characterized the codexes B and Aleph as impure. And that's exactly what they are. Yet these are the bases of these new versions that we talk about. New American Standard, New International, that fundamentalists even are using. And Bob Jones University and Chunker Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, all these fundamentalist schools are using Codex B and Aleph, the basis for their new versions, the one they sell at the bookstore and various places, and the New American Standard Version. In the Greek text, the Greek department is based upon Codices B and Aleph. Here's what Dean Burgon says. He says not only are they impure, but they're two of the least trustworthy documents in existence. He says they're the foulest text that has ever seen the light, and specimens of the depraved class. Now notice what it says in quotation. This is from Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, page 315 to 317. He says, quote, "The impurity of the texts exhibited by Codices B and Aleph is not a matter of opinion, but a matter of fact. These are two of the least trustworthy documents in existence. A text formed by taking Codex B as the sole authority would be by far the foulest text that had ever seen the light. Worse, that is to say, even than the text of Drs. Westcott and Hurt. In other words, they didn't get away with taking all of Manuscript B, the Vatican manuscript. They couldn't take it all, but they had most of it. And to take only B alone, that would be far worse than even Westcott and Hurt's Greek text of 1881, on which these new versions and perversions of our day are based. And then he says, and codices B and Aleph are nothing else but specimens demonstrably of the depraved class thus characterized. End of quote. Pages 315 to 317. Well, Dean Burgon has been saying similar things many times as we have quoted them in the earlier broadcasts. But we wish to be complete and not to leave out anything. And very many of his choice words and condemnation of these false texts of Westcott and Hort. And it's a house of cards. The whole thing, the entire Westcott and Hort house of cards, which must, by God's grace, come crashing down once and for all in the 20th and 21st centuries as far as we're concerned. And the 21st century is upon us. We're here. It's the year 2000. Well, continuing, Dean Burgon denounced the major documents, underlying the Westcott and Hort revision of the Greek text, namely B and Aleph, and also C, with specific defects enumerated. He spelled out the defects of these manuscripts that underlie Westcott and Hort's text. He says, quote, as for the codices or Codex Aleph, it carries on its face its own effectual condemnation. Now, Aleph is the Sinai manuscript founded by Tischendorf in the 1800s. And Aleph and B, Westcott and Hort said, if they concur, if they agree, then that's the text that the originals had. Absolutely false, but that's what they said in their book, their Introduction to the Greek New Testament, and that's what the leaders of the textual battles today have bought into. They have bought into the lie that B and Aleph are all right. Well, if they're all right, why, as Herman Haskier has pointed out in his book, Codex B and Its Lies, if they're so good, B and Aleph, why do they contradict one another over 3,000 major places in the Gospels alone? Over 3,000 places in the Gospels alone, B contradicts Aleph, or Aleph contradicts B. Aleph carries on the face its own effectual condemnation, aptly illustrating the precept, fiat experimentum in corpore vili. It exhibits the efforts of many generations of men to restore its text, which, as proceeding from the first scribe, is admitted by one of its chief admirers to be very rough, to something like purity. Trying to restore that to something like purity, you can't do it. It's very rough. Aleph, the heretical manuscript from Egypt by the Gnostic heretics, is very rough. Even those who admire it say it's very rough. At least 10 different revisers, says Dean Burgon, from the 4th to the 12th century, are found to have tried their hands upon it. In other words, revised Codex Aleph, the Sinai manuscript. Codex C, after having had at least 3 correctors very busily at work upon it, that's in the 6th century and also in the 9th centuries, finally, he says, about Codex C, in the 12th century, was fairly obliterated, literally scraped out to make room for the writings of a Syrian father. I am therefore left by a priori considerations to augur ill of the contents of B, Aleph, and C. Dean Burgon's Revision Revised, page 325. Now, it's strange indeed, my friend, is it not, in view of such condemnation from the face of Aleph and C themselves, to their having been tampered with, that modern-day fundamentalist leaders and followers, for that matter, as well, insist on the purity of these manuscripts, and they cannot break clean with the Westcott and Hort's group of texts. They can't break clean from it. and such as B and Aleph and C, and have nothing whatever to do with their products of translation. And the products of translation from these B and Aleph and C and D and A, some of these others, the products today, the New English Version, New International Version, New American Standard Version, American Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, Living Version, Today's English Version, and many, many others. It's strange. If they were to read and agree with Dean Burgon as far as the inferiority of these manuscripts on which their versions are based, they wouldn't insist that fundamentalists take these English versions. And they wouldn't insist on a blessing on all three of these Greek texts. Blessing on the text of Receptus, blessing on the majority text that differs with it for 1,800 places, and blessing on the Westcott and Hort critical text, which differs from the text of Receptus in 5,604 plus places. And so, the From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man book has said, bless all three of these groups of manuscripts. Let's not fight among ourselves. Let's not try to find out what the exact words are. Let's agree that some believe it's the Westcott and Hort text, others believe it's the text of Receptus, and let's be charitable to all and not fight about it. Now, friend, why not fight about it? It's the what the words of God are. That's important. And it's something to fight over. And we've got to win. Our side has got to win because it's the truth. Their side is not the truth. All their side is going to do is to say, well, we don't know. They're agnostic. That's what it means. Agnostic is someone that doesn't know. Well, my friend, we do know. Those of us who stand for the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible do know. And Dean Burgon knew. And he wrote five large books showing how he did know, defending the traditional text, the received text, the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. Oh, he said it had to be revised maybe in a few minor places, but he defended it against the text of Tregellis, of Lachmann, of Tichendorf, of Griesbach, and of Westcott and Hort, and the others. He defended the traditional text. And my friend, we've got a battle on our hands. Our side knows that it's right. The other side, the Westcott and Hort side, the Bob Jones University side, Detroit Baptist Seminary side, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, all this side of the fence, and they used to know. They used to say, this is it. And used to fight with the text receptors people and the majority text people. But now, all of a sudden, in their books and in their writings, from the mind of God to the mind of man, are simply, we don't know. So let's not fight. Let's just give in. But one thing they do know is that you can't take the text receptus only as the words of God. That's what they do know. They don't know that their side is perfect. They don't want to believe it anymore. They used to. They used to fight for it strenuously, but now they've switched. They've ganged up on the text receptus Bible-believing Christians. And they said, we don't want you. You can't know for sure. And you're wrong. But we, on our part, are not sure. We're not sure anymore that the revised text of Westcott and Hort, Nestle-Allen, United Bible Society text, is correct. We're not really sure anymore. Or even that the majority text is right or wrong. And some of the men, Dr. Smallman, wrote that the majority text is getting a bit closer with the critical text of Westcott and Hort. And they're looking together a little bit more. But they're not sure. The only thing they're sure of is that the Textus Receptus people are wrong. My friend, the only thing we're sure of is the Textus Receptus people are right. And we're not going to budge. I'm not going to budge until the Lord takes me home to glory. I'm not going to budge there either. My friend, and as a result of this, as a concomitant of this, as something that goes along with this, the battle has sharpened against the text derived from the Textus Receptus. That is our King James Bible. You see, if they say that the text receptus can't be right, and we can't be dogmatic about it, then they say the King James Bible translation accurately from the text receptus can't be right either. And we can't be dogmatic about that. And so now we have an ecumenical Bible situation on our hands. All of the fundamentalist separatists of Bob Jones University and Calvary Seminary and Central Seminary, Detroit Seminary, and Clearwater College and so on. All these fellows, though they say they use the King James Bible, they say you cannot use it alone, and that you must recognize the beauties of the New American Standard Version and of the New International Version and many other versions that they say are all right, and they're excoriating us for using the King James Bible only. But my friend, listen, if the Textus Receptus on which the King James Bible is founded is the only correct text that goes right back to the originals of Peter and Paul and James and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke, why can't we say the King James Bible is the only Bible we should use, because it's the only one that's accurately translated from the proper Greek and Hebrew texts? That's our position. Well, and to continue, talking about Dean Burgon's warnings on revision, and we're getting into some of his quotations against the Westcott and Hort text. Dean Burgon demonstrated as ridiculous, more than unreasonable, weak superstition, craven homage, and simply worthless the Westcott and Hort prize manuscripts of B, Aleph, and C. Notice the depictions that Dean Burgon has in these manuscripts that are worshipped by the fundamentalists today, many of them. Many of these schools that call themselves major fundamentalist institutions are worshipping at the throne of Westcott and Hort's B and Aleph and C. Here's what Dean Burgon says about them. Quote, "But when I find them, that is B and Aleph and C, these three Greek manuscripts, hopelessly at variance among themselves. Above all, when I find, number one, all other manuscripts of whatever date, number two, the most ancient versions, and number three, the whole body of the primitive fathers decidedly opposed to them, I am, to speak plainly, at a loss to understand how any man of sound understanding, acquainted with all the facts of the case, and accustomed to exact reasoning, can hesitate to regard the unsupported or the slenderly supported testimony of one or the other of them as simply worthless." Let's pause right there. End of quotation. Let's pause right there. Simply worthless. Here Dean Burgon says he doesn't know. He's at a loss to understand. And I'm at a loss, my friend, to understand. When all other manuscripts are against them, the most ancient versions are against them, the whole body of the quotations of the primitive church fathers are against them, he's at a loss why people accept them, Aleph and B and C. He says, especially those of sound understanding. That's the first qualification for anybody to understand this subject. My friend, are you listening to me? Are you of sound understanding? I didn't say, did you go to this school or that school? I don't care what school you went to. Are you of sound understanding? That's the first thing. And then acquainted with all the facts of the case. Are you acquainted with all the facts of the case? I maintain that Dean Burgon's five books are not in the hands of these fundamentalists that are shooting down the Textus Receptus, the traditional Greek text. I don't believe they have them. And if they have them, I don't believe they've read them. And if they've read them, I don't believe they studied them. I'm talking about the last 12 verses of Mark. We've reprinted it. It's a book now. You can get it. And if you want to be accustomed to all the facts in the case, you must read Dean Burgon's defense of Mark 16:9-20, the last 12 verses of Mark. The Revision Revised. We've been quoting from the Revision Revised repeatedly on these broadcasts these last weeks. You must get it. 640 pages. We've reprinted it in hardback edition. It's available. If you want to be informed on all the facts of the case, my friend, instead of listening to those that are arguing for B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, New American Standard, New International Version, and all the other perversions, if you want to be acquainted with all the facts of the case, you must get a copy for yourself of Revision Revised. You must read it. And then you must study it to understand. A third book of Dean Burgon we've reprinted, hardback edition, the traditional text of the Holy Gospels. It gives you the history, the traditional text, the text of Receptus, call it what you will, the history of it. Then a fourth book, that's 350 pages, a fourth book by Dean Burgon, The Causes of Corruption, The Causes of the Corruption of the Traditional Text of the Holy Gospels, giving the causes why the atheists and unbelievers and some even believers have corrupted the original traditional text. And then a fifth book by Dean Burgon is Inspiration and Interpretation, another hardback edition book, over 900 pages, or rather over 600 pages. All five of these books, if you really want to know what's going on, and you want to know all the facts of the case, you must get Dean Burgon's writings. Because the writings in the books today don't go into these facts. They skip over them. They're justifications for B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, that contradict themselves in over 3,000 places in the Gospels alone. They are out for Westcott and Hort's Greek text. They're the people like Dr. James B. Williams, the general editor of the book From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man, who says that Westcott and Hort are not liberals, are not apostates, as they really were. He says they're with the Lord. He's got them in heaven instead of in hell. My friend, we've got all kinds of twisted, perverted thinking in regard to this subject. So Dean Burgon wants you to know not only understand how sound reasoning and acquainted with all the facts of the case, but also accustomed to exact reasoning. Are you accustomed to exact reasoning? I don't mean reasoning out in the middle of the air, but pin it down with facts, exact reasoning, how anybody can see that these are anything else but simply worthless. Let me continue the quotation. Dean Burgon wrote, The craven homage which the foremost of the three, that is B, habitually receives at the hands of Drs. Westcott and Hort, I can only describe as weak superstition. And my friend, that's exactly what it is, weak superstition. It is something, Dean Burgon says, more than unreasonable. It becomes even ridiculous. End of quote. Dean Burgon's Revision of Vows, page 325. Now, certainly Dean Burgon would not advocate holding any revision of the text of Receptus on anything similar to or like the principles on which the Westcott and Hort men built their revision. Quite the contrary. Those principles are no good. Those principles need to be warned against. And yet people accept the revision of the text of Receptus in that fashion. False indeed. Well, Dean Burgon continues. He acknowledges both the general trustworthiness of the traditional received text and the essential rottenness of the Greek text of Westcott and Hort. Now, some people say, well, Dean Burgon didn't go along with the text of Receptus. He didn't go along with the traditional text. My friend, he certainly did when you play it up against the terrible, terrible situation found in Westcott and Hort's text. He says this, quote, "And yet it is no isolated place. It was no isolated place which I was eager to establish when at first I took up my pen. It was the general trustworthiness of the traditional text, the text which you admit to be upwards of 1,500 years old." Now he's talking, let me pause there, end of quote. He's talking to Bishop Ellicott, who was the chairman of the revision of 1881. He says, "Bishop Ellicott, you admit that it's up over 1,500 years old." And Dean Burgon says, "I want to uphold that." He says, "which I aimed at illustrating. The essential rottenness of the foundation on which the Greek text of the revision of 1881 has been constructed by yourself and by your fellow revisers, which I was determined to expose." Dean Burgon's Revision of Vows, page 516. End of quote. Now, Dean Burgon, in writing to Bishop Ellicott, the chairman of the Revision Committee of 1881, on which Drs. Hort and Westcott sat, summed up his belief in the vast superiority of the traditional text as over against the Westcott and Hort text and the inferiority of that text of 1881. That's the text that still is the basis of these new versions. That's the text that's taught at Bob Jones University, Detroit Seminary, Central Seminary, and Lansdale's Calvary Seminary, and many others in the fundamentalist schools. It's interesting to note that the vast majority of modern translations of the New Testament from Greek to English have as their foundation this very same fallacious text that Dean Borgon exposed in his Revision Revised dated 1883. Over 100 years have transpired since the publication of this, and the ill-informed, the ill-advised, and the ill-prepared so-called scholars of today are still reverencing, almost to the point of worship, virtually the same Greek text that this giant of textual critics called by all the choice names which have been quoted above to this point. When will we learn from history so that we do not have to repeat that same history? My friend, that's the issue right there. When are we going to learn from history that this text on which the Westcott and Hort Greek is based, the B and Aleph texts, are inferior texts, are false texts, and are texts that we should have nothing whatever to do with? When are these men that I call ill-informed, they call themselves scholars, on the Mind of God to the Mind of Man book, they had academicians. These men, eight men from different schools, to look over the copy, to give suggestions, and so on. But these men that are called academicians from the academies, from the schools, they call themselves scholars, but I maintain are ill-informed. They're ill-advised, and they're ill-prepared. And that they're willing to call us misinformers. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get them both at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Borgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 844. Mark that 644, 644 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Borgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament texts, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible in its seventh printing, hardback edition, 350 pages. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible? Uncommon words defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, not bonded leather, genuine leather, either black or burgundy, 12-point large print for tired eyes, or 10-point medium print. Over 20,000 have their copies. Why not order yours today? Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get your copy. And then for those requesting it, we're glad to send you with our compliments our 80-page book by your speaker on fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we're talking today, continuing on Dean Borgon's warnings on revision, warnings on the revision of the Textus Receptus, Greek New Testament, or on the King James Bible. Now, Dean Borgon wrote 1883, over 100-plus years ago, and his warnings are still there. He was against the change, the revision of the Textus Receptus called the Westcott and Hort Greek text of 1881. He was against that. He warned against it. He railed out against it. He spoke out and wrote out against it. We have five of Dean Burgon's books reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society, and they're available. You ought to get them and read them. He was against that revision. He would have been against the revision of the text receptus of the so-called majority text. He would be against that. They changed the text receptus in 1,800 places. They didn't do it right. They didn't follow his prescription and his prerequisites at all. All right, we're continuing. We're on page number 21 in Dean Burgon's Warnings on the Revision of the Textus Receptus. Dean Burgon felt that though the Textus Receptus was an excellent text for the use in the meantime, it was 1,000 times superior to the Greek text of Westcott and Hort, yet he did not hold to its perfection. Well, we want to admit that. That's certainly what he believed. I don't want anybody reading this or listening to the broadcast to misunderstand Dean John William Burgon's position on the text of the Septus or traditional text. He held it to be superior to the text of Westcott and Hort or any other of that school of false textual critics. He did feel, however, that it was not perfect. If revised, though, it should be properly revised in the minor places where it might need such help. Any such revision must adhere strictly upon the principles laid down by this master textual critic. Until then, the Textus Receptus was to be used without apology as the printed text closest to the original autographs of any in print today. So, this is Dean Burgon's suggestion for revision of the received text, or Textus Receptus, or traditional text. Now, I'm president of the Dean Burgon Society, and the Dean Burgon Society takes a position that the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlie our King James Bible are the closest to the original texts of Hebrew and of Greek possible in our day. I personally, and not with the Dean Burgon Society, but I personally believe that they are God's words kept perfectly, and I believe I would disagree slightly with Dean Burgon as to the perfection of the text receptus. I believe that it's God's word preserved, and I believe those Greek words and those Hebrew words are the very words that Paul and Peter and John and Moses and the Old Testament writers wrote. So we would slightly differ with Dean Burgon on that point. But the main thing I agree with Dean Burgon is this. If we're going to change it at all, if we're going to modify it at all, the text receptus, which I don't believe we can do because we can't possibly fulfill all of Dean Burgon's prerequisites for that modification. And if we're not going to modify it the proper way, leave it alone. And so the bottom line is that the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is as good as perfect because we're going to leave it alone. Therefore, for us to further our ministry, we have to have a solid base, and as far as I'm concerned, that is our text receptus that underlies the King James Bible. Now, let's notice, as far as Dean Burgon's suggestion for revision of the text receptus, or the traditional text. First of all, Dean Burgon used the commonly received text as a common standard, not as the final standard of appeal. Now, Dean Burgon was fighting against Westcott and Hort and all the other detractors and those that were favorable to the Westcott and Hort Greek text. He wanted to be honest. He wanted to be forthright. Here's what he says. This is his position in 1883 as he wrote this. The false Greek text had come out just 2 years before in 1881. He says, I have referred five famous codices. A, B, Aleph, C, and D. These are the five essentials, certain of which are found to have turned the brain of critics of the new school to one and the same familiar exhibition of the commonly received text of the New Testament. In other words, he's used as a standard the commonly received text that underlies the King James Bible. But notice, but by so doing, I have not by any means assumed the textual purity of that common standard. In other words, I have not made it the final standard of appeal. All critics, wherever found, at all times, have correlated with the commonly received text. But only as the most convenient standard of comparison, not surely as the absolute standard of excellence. Revision Revised, page Roman numerals 18 and 19. Now, this is an honest statement of Dean Burgon's view of the Textus Receptus, or received text, or traditional text. He did not think it was perfect, but needed minor improvements in spots. But any revision was to be preceded by certain safeguards, of which we'll speak later in this study and on this broadcast. And so, Dean Burgon felt that we had to have safeguards if we were going to revise that text. But as far as he's concerned, he uses that as a common standard, and that was used in his day as well. Point number two in regard to the revision of the Textus Receptus. Dean Burgon felt the Textus Receptus does call for revision, but that must be based upon entirely different principles from those of Westcott and Hort's text. That was his belief. Here's what he wrote from the Revision Revised, page 107. Quote, "But what is far more important circumstance, we are further convinced that a prior act of penance to be submitted to by the revisers would be the restoration of the underlying Greek text to very nearly, not quite, very nearly the state in which they found it when they entered upon their ill-advised undertaking." Let me pause right there in the quotation. That's the first act of penance, he says, that they should take as the revisers, the 1881 English Revised Version and the Westcott and Hort Greek text. Restore it very nearly, he says, then continuing the quotation, very nearly, not quite, for in not a few particulars, the Textus Receptus does call for revision. Certainly, although revision on entirely different principles from those which are found to have prevailed in the Jerusalem chamber. That's the location of Westcott and Hort's English Revised Version, a revision of the Greek and English in 1881. This is from Revision Revised, page 107. Now, let me just simply say this. Though Dean Burgon agreed that the Textus Receptus did call for revision, and of course these men that wrote from the mind of God to the mind of man constantly remind us of this and so on, and that's why they are knocking the received text, because they're quoting Dean Burgon saying it's not necessarily perfect. But what they're not quoting from the mind of God to the mind of man book is the fact that Dean Burgon, though he said it may need revision in slight areas, he says it's superior to their text, the Westcott and Hort text of B and Aleph, and they don't quote that part of Dean Burgon at all. He says, yes, it may be revised, but on completely different principles on that which a revision should be based, as was based, rather, by the Westcott and Hort people. It should be diametrically opposite to the principles used by Westcott and Hort and the English Revised Committee of 1881 as the basis for that version, ERV, as they call it. He further stated that it was his firm belief that the revisers should do penance by restoring the underlying Greek text to very nearly, not quite, the state in which they found it when they entered in upon their ill-advised undertaking. That's what he said. That's what he wrote. Go back to the original text that you started from. That's what he's saying. In part, such a restoration has been made possible by the Trinitarian Bible Society in 1976 by their printing of the New Testament, the Greek text underlying the King James Authorized Bible of 1611. It's available in the Bible for today. It's number 471. In fact, we've also reprinted, the Dean Burgon Society, rather, has reprinted, and it's available, Dr. Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament text. And this annotated Greek text examines not only the text Receptus that underlies the King James Bible, and prints that exactly just as the Trinitarian Bible Society has printed their copy, but it has annotations. It has footnotes. And it tells in bold black letters the exact places where the English Revised Version changed the Textus Receptus. It's in large print. The Greek text is bigger than any Greek text I've ever seen. It's probably 14-point type. In the footnotes, it shows you, this annotated Greek New Testament shows you exactly how Westcott and Hort and the English Revised Version people changed the Greek text, Textus Receptus, that underlies the King James Bible. There are 5,604 places where they changed it, Textus Receptus, And if you look at the footnotes and add up all those words, that amounts to 9,970 Greek words that they've either added, subtracted, or changed in some other way. So we urge the listener, every one of you who are listening to me, to order this. It's number 1670, Bible for Today, number 1670. We'll tell you how to get it. It's Dr. Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament. Now, we have the regular Greek New Testament by the Trinitarian Bible Society. That's number 471, Bible for Today, number 471. That's available also. But we also have the annotated Greek New Testament. So call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll tell you about it. But this, the Trinitarian Bible Society Greek text is a reproduction of the text of Dr. Frederick H.A. Scrivener, which gives the exact Greek text underlying the King James Bible. Now, Dr. Scrivener was on the English Revised Version Committee. Dr. Scrivener was an excellent textual critic in his day. The same day he was contemporary with Westcott and Hort and with Dean John William Burgon. And he was on the Revision Committee, English Revised Version Committee of 1881. Dr. Scrivener was on that committee. And he fought tooth and toenail with Westcott and with Hort, trying to get them to stay with the traditional text as often as possible, but he was outvoted. He was outvoted because he was not in the majority of those people that wanted to change the Greek New Testament. And this Dr. Scrivener, Frederick H.A. Scrivener, his text of the Trinitarian Bible Society gives the exact underlying text of the King James Bible. And you ought to have a copy. This is a very readable and scholarly work, which every pastor and every Christian worker, every layman, should have in their library. But in addition to that text, the Trinitarian Bible Society Scrivener's text, without any annotations, you should also get Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament. Hardback or genuine leather. Call us, we'll tell you how to get it. Recently published and reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, the third point of Dean Burgon as far as revising the text of Receptus. We're on page 23 of this book. You ought to write us for it and get it. Burgon's warnings on revision. And that is this. Dean Burgon felt the text of Receptus needed revision in many of the lesser details, but that it was an excellent text as it stands. Now notice that. So many times those that criticize the text of Receptus and quote Dean Burgon in doing it do not realize that he had an assessment that it was an excellent text as it stands. And then he says that will never lead critical students of Scripture seriously astray. That's what these Westcott and Hort lovers of Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Clearwater Christian College, and others, that's what they fail to point out. That Dean Burgon felt it was an excellent text as it stands, even though he felt it needed revision in small, insignificant places. Notice what he says here from Revision Revised, page 269. Quote, obtained from a variety of sources, that is, the text of Receptus or traditional Greek text, this text proves to be essentially the same in all. Let me pause right there. A lot of people say, oh my, you've got all kinds of different received texts and Textus Receptus and traditional texts, are all different kinds, they contradict one another and so on. Listen, Dean Burgon, who's looked at them, Dean Burgon, who's examined them, says that they're essentially the same in all. So there's small differences in spelling. So what? The differences between the old uncials, the five old uncials, was like a chasm. A tremendous, gigantic chasm in difference compared to just tiny differences in spellings and tiny, different, insignificant differences in the received text or the text receptus or traditional text. These five old uncials of A and Aleph, B, C, and D differ in monumental fashion one from another. That's not true of the so-called Textus Receptus or traditional text. He says it proves to be essentially the same in all. Keep that in mind. Let me continue. Dean Burgon says that it requires revision in respect of many of the lesser details is undeniable. Notice, lesser details. That's all. Then he continues. But it is at least as certain that it is an excellent text as it stands, and that the use of it will never lead critical students of Scripture seriously astray. Now, that is Dean Burgon's assessment of the Textus Receptus, the traditional text. It's excellent as it stands. We agree with Dean Burgon on that. It is excellent as it stands. We agree with him that says the use of it will never lead critical students of Scripture seriously astray. Let me continue the quotation. Which is what no one will venture to predicate concerning any single critical edition of the New Testament which has been published since the days of Griesbach by the disciples of Griesbach's school. End of quote. Revision Revised, page 269. Now, the disciples of Griesbach's school would include Lachmann, Tischendorf, Tregelis, and Westcott and Hort. Those are disciples of Griesbach, the German apostate. Lachmann, Tregelis, Tischendorf, and Griesbach. These, and Westcott and Hort. These are the followers of Griesbach. And what he's saying is this. The Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is an excellent text as it stands, without any modification, any revision whatsoever. And certainly, it will never lead any critical student of Scripture seriously astray. And it's far superior. You can't say that of any of these other texts. He says you can't say that they're the excellent texts. You can't say that they'll not lead critical students of Scripture seriously astray. You can't say that of the Griesbach school, the German higher critical school, or Lachmann who followed him, or Tregelis who followed him, or Tischendorf who followed him, or Westcott and Hort who followed him. That can't be said. What Dean Burgon is saying very, very clearly here is that if he had a choice between using the Textus Receptus, or traditional text, which underlies our King James Bible, in its present form, and of using any single critical Greek text, which has been published since the days of Griesbach, there would be no choice. If he had a choice between, he would choose the Textus Receptus. It must be remembered that John James Griesbach was a pupil of Semler, who died 1812. Check the Guide to the Textual Criticism of the New Testament by Edward Miller. That's BFT number 743. It's available. And Griesbach was a student of Semler, the apostate. This would therefore urge our present students in the colleges and Bible institutes and seminaries of our world to forsake their critical editions of the Greek New Testament. That would say forsake Semler. Forsake Griesbach, Tischendorf, Tregelis, and all these others, and Westcott and Hort, and forsake the critical editions of the Greek New Testament that form the basis of these modern versions. Forsake the Nestle Aland. Forsake Schroeder's Greek text, United Bible Society Greek text, Westcott and Hort Greek text, or any other Griesbachian monstrosity from Griesbach. That's the error. And the Semler, who in 1812 was his teacher. He died in 1812, and then Griesbach took up where he left off. Dean Burgon was for return to square one in the Greek New Testament for starters. Revision would come later. But for now, he would tell the English Revised Version men of 1881 and Westcott and Hort's Greek text of 1881 to return to the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible and start from there if they're going to have any revision, whatever. Well, point number four on Dean Burgon's thought on revision of the Textus Receptus, and that is this. Dean Burgon did not take the received or any other text as a standard from which there should be no appeal. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "But pray, who in his senses, what sane man in Great Britain, ever dreamed of regarding the received, A, or any other known text as a standard from which there should be no appeal? Have I ever done so? Have I ever implied as much? If I have, show me where." That's Revision Revised, page 385. Well, now, you're listening to a speaker, if you're listening to this broadcast, who does believe that we should not appeal from the text of Receptus as a standard text. And apparently, he doesn't call me a sane Englishman in his senses. What sane man? See, he would probably call me insane. But the point of it is, Dean Burgum would like to have revised or have the revision of the text Receptus done of the very minor places where it needed revision in his way and in his day. But as we'll see as we finish this book, as we finish his Burgum's warnings on revision, you will see that there was no living Englishman at that time, no one that could actually do the job right. And so Dean Burgum, though he says, well, maybe we can have some changes in this text Receptus, yet in his day nobody could do it right. Nobody had the knowledge and the ability to do it right. And if it was true in his day, certainly it is 1,000 times more true in our day today, at the year 2000, where we're broadcasting, that no man, no group of men, could do it in Dean Burgum's way. So what we're faced with is this. Though we may admit in our intellectual minds that there may be slight modifications of the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, yet because we can't change it right, we're not doing it the right way, we don't know. Let's keep it as it is. Let us keep it as it is. And as far as I'm concerned, personally, that's the text that God has preserved for us. Let's stay with it. Let's stick with it. And let's not change it. What Dean Burgum was saying here is that the same and the state of the Greek New Testament text was such even in his time of 1883 that there was no 100% certain text to each and every detail from which there was no appeal. It would be less than honest for Dean Burgum to have stated that. And yet, fundamentalists and new evangelicals and liberals and modernists, right and left, are holding up the critical texts of Westcott and Hort and their colleagues and saying, here, this is it. There's no appeal from it. Now, this is not correct, said Dean Burgum. Even the text Receptus might yield to evidence from fathers, that is, quotation of the truth fathers, copies or versions and lectionaries, if and only if certain Burgonian safeguards were to be ensured. Now, that's the issue. We shall speak about these safeguards later in this broadcast. Keep tuned. For my part, everything considered, this is personal now, we should leave alone the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. Since it can't be done in the right way, just leave it alone. It's the closest that we'll ever come to. And as far as my personal belief is, God has preserved those Greek words, stick to them, hold to them, and translate from them into every language of the world, and translate accurately and theologically sound with proper technique, with proper translators, and with proper texts. Well, a fifth point that Dean Burgum was pointed out as far as the revision of the received text is concerned. Dean Burgum held that the received text, even in his day, was full 1,550 years old. Well, if it's 1,550 years old in his day, 1883, in 1983 it would have been 1,653 years old. And 1983, and this is the year 2000, that would be 1,670 years old. And even a vast deal older, said Dean Burgum. And he esteemed it quite good enough for all ordinary purposes. Yet he sometimes made appeal from it. Here's what he wrote from his Revision of Eyes, page 392. Dean Burgum said this, quote, "For my own part, being fully convinced, like yourself, writing to Bishop Ellicott, the chairman of the English Revised Version Committee of 1881, for my part, like yourself, that essentially this received text is full 1,550 years old, yes, and a vast deal older, I esteem it quite good enough for all ordinary purposes. And yet, so far as I am from pinning my faith to it, that I eagerly make my appeal from it to the threefold witness of copies, versions, fathers, whenever I find its testimony challenged." End of quote. Revision Revised, page 392. Again, this is Dean Burgon's solid faith in the essential soundness of the received text. And yet, his recognition that in lesser details, the copies, the versions, the church fathers, the evidence might yield slight corrections if properly and soundly used. The copies, versions, and fathers have not yet been properly used, either in the Greek text of Westcott and Hort, or of Nestle Island, or United Bible Society, or the so-called majority text of Hodges and Farstad, or Robertson and Pierpont, or in any others before or after Dean Burgon's time. In other words, no one has done it in the proper method specified in detail by Dean Burgon. Now, that's the issue right there. That's the problem right there. And we're going to take up next broadcast Dean Burgon's vital importance of the Church Fathers' quotations of the New Testament for critical use in revising the text of Receptus. We're going to take a look at that. But we're right now going to pause at this point, and we're going to say time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask a bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get these books. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long as the next broadcast, don't miss it, we'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And don't forget to hear us next week, same time, same station, for more of the important study, Burgon's Warnings on Revision.